Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Into every creation, every man, woman, boy, or girl that he's ever brought forth, he marked them. He put in our DNA a stamp of his image. He placed part of himself in us as a down payment for the relationship that he desired to see happen sometime in the future. He placed his image on each of us.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Israel. Remember that? We talked about there was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, and there was a total of 39 kings that sat on the throne, either in the north or the south, over about a 210-year span. Specifically tonight, the northern kingdom was where Hosea spent time preaching. And it was not an easy congregation to preach to, y'all. The northern kingdom had some issues. Because right there at the beginning of this northern kingdom, when Jeroboam led the northern 10 tribes away and split and kind of peeled away from the southern tribes, they immediately, in my opinion, immediately went into idolatry. And one of the many reasons I believe that is because you can only worship God on His terms. You can't do it the way you want to do it just because you got a fancy to do it that way if it subverts what he has already said he will receive as true worship. And he had told them in his law in the Old Testament that they had to have at least two things for it to be acceptable worship. They had to have the temple at that time, and they had to have Jerusalem. And when they pulled away from the southern two tribes and formed that northern kingdom, they did not have Jerusalem. They no longer had the temple, but they went on attempting to worship. And if you try to do it your way, you're worshiping another God. You're not worshiping Jehovah because you have to do it His way. So I believe they immediately went into idolatry. But apart from that, 19 kings sit on the throne in the northern kingdom, and every single one of them were evil to the bone. The Bible said of all of them, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they were worse and worse and worse until the Assyrian army came in and took them over and basically annihilated. The 10 tribes disappeared under the captivity of Assyria. This is the group that Hosea is sent by God to preach to. It's a tough crowd, not just because they're immediately an idolatrous people, but they're also a successful folk in this regard. They've got money. They're prospering. Some of them even take on some campaigns and annex some territory, y'all. And so when you have a group of folks that think they got it all going their way, but what they need more than anything is repentance, that's a tough pulpit to preach from. It's hard to preach sermons to people that think they got it figured out, that they're blessed and there ain't no problem, when God is saying, you need to repent of your sin because I'm coming. You preach that sermon to them, you're not going to get many converts, and neither did Hosea or his contemporaries in the northern kingdom. If you're following me so far, say amen. Amen. It reminds me of a verse in Revelations where Jesus speaks of this church and he says, you say I'm rich, I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They thought they had it going on. They had nothing going on. These are the people Hosea is talking to in the north. And it's a tough day when the man of God has to get up every day and speak to a bunch. Brother Ben, you just don't know how lucky you are to be preaching to the folks you got here in Central Baptist. So here is Hosea preaching to a hard-headed bunch of congregation, we'll just say that. And if you found the book, I want to read a few verses. Then I want to walk us through the story a little bit. And then I want us to look at where Jesus shows up in this story in a few places. So in Hosea chapter 1, if you've got it, stand up with me. And we're going to read just a few verses out of chapter 1, and then we're going to flip over to chapter 3, and we'll read a couple of verses right there. So let's begin in Hosea chapter 1, in verse 1. Here's what it says. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, when the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of harlotry. Everybody say, go, Hosea. He said, go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. Verse 3, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Now flip over to chapter 3. First verse, then the Lord said to me, this is Hosea speaking, go again. Everybody say, go again, Hosea.
Go again.
We'll come back to that. Go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who took other gods and loved the raisin cakes of the pagans. Verse 2, so I bought her for myself, for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley. And I want to preach tonight a message that I've entitled The Redeemer and the Ransom. The Redeemer and the Ransom from Hosea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come to this moment and Lord, more than anything, I know that I need you in this moment, God. If it's up to me to preach a message to these folks, then they are just in for a wasted moment of time. They don't need to hear my words. God, we need to hear your words tonight. Father, I ask that you would send the Holy Spirit to preach your message. God, that you would make this moment easy, Lord, to just pick me up and set me over in the safety zone and go to work for your folks. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would give us ears to hear a spiritual word. Father, above all things, I know that if my words are not your words, then I'm wasting your time. So God, would you just go ahead and preach this for me? Put a bright spotlight on Jesus tonight. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. If you love good preaching, say amen.
Amen.
Well, come back tomorrow night. Dad will be preaching again. If you love somebody that'll give it a good try, say amen.
Amen.
So I love good preaching, and I love preachers that are good with illustrations. Because when you graduated from Hallsville, Texas, the illustrations really help. One preacher I heard say one time that a good illustration is like a window that it lets light into a dark room. And I love preachers that do. Jesus was great at illustration. That's what he did with parables. Paul did that. He would take things from the present time they lived in, and he would compare spiritual things that were hard to understand to things that they understood from everyday life, and it made the light bulbs turn on. Amen, if you like the light bulb to turn on now and then. I love when I get behind a pulpit, and I can watch from this direction, and the pastors in the room will know what I'm talking about when you can tell that somebody just got it. There's always three more people than the one that got it that's asleep, and I've gotten past that. If you go to sleep tonight, you're not going to slow me down, I promise. Just don't snore, because I will throw something at you. Here's Hosea. Hosea's struggling to preach to these hard-headed folks that think they've got it all figured out. And I can imagine going out every day to these people and continuing to preach this word that God sent them, that they better repent, come on back, and they're not listening, and there's no converts, and there's nobody coming over, and in fact, he's probably being ridiculed and given a hard time, and this is his daily grind, and God looked down at his preacher, and he knew that what he needed was a good illustration. I wish I'd have been there when they had the conversation. I can just see Hosea on the street corner, giving it all he's got. People are walking by, saying things you ought not say to a preacher, not paying much of attention. He's just letting it rip, Nobody's listening. He's wondering, what can I do to get through to somebody? And God said, Hosea. Now, Kelly, I don't know. This part's not in the Bible. This is just sanctified imagination. Just hang it with me. Hosea, having trouble? Yes, sir. Not listening to you? No, sir. Let me tell you what you need, son. All right, I'm going to help you out. Good. You need an illustration. Well, amen. An illustration straight from God's got to be a good one. Lord, what you got for me? I'm ready. He said, here's what I want you to do. Look across the city square there, son. All right. You see the lady standing on the street corner? Yes, sir. God, the one in the red dress. Yep, that's the one. I see her. Here's what I want you to do, Hosea. I want you to go over and talk to her. Oh, you want me to witness to her? Here we go. Tell them about, no, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to go over and tell her that you think she's pretty good looking and you want her phone number. God, are we talking about the same lady? The one on the street corner that's talking to the guys coming out of the bar. That's the one. Go over there and act like you're very interested in her. Well, Lord, okay, here we go. So he goes over and he says, how you doing? My name's Hosea. And she says, nice to meet you. My name's Gomer. Now, wait a minute. God, her name's Gomer? Right, that's the one, Gomer over there. Well, golly. You feeling sorry for him yet? Here's what God said. I've got a wonderful illustration. People need to understand that my relationship with the children of Israel has been damaged greatly by the way they've turned their back on me and gone to other gods. It's like they're committing adultery, not just that they've gone to somebody else, but they're prostituting themselves to other gods. You see, in the Old Testament, adultery and prostitution were often very synonymous with idolatry. And so this is a beautiful illustration God's given Hosea. God, you want me to just go over and talk to her? No, not really. I want you to go get to know her and date her a little bit and court her and then marry her. What? I'm in home health. And I have a lot of seasoned citizens that I take care of. And they've told me that they used to go sparking. I've been a little afraid to ask some of them what that really means. Because I haven't figured out does she spark or do you spark or what happens there? Don't tell me, I don't know if I need to know. But this is what Hosea has been instructed by God to do. To go and form a relationship with her that would not just allow them to become friendly, but would bring her to a place that she would fall in love with him and him with her. And that's what he does. He goes and he begins to court her and date her, and they finally get married, and we read some of these verses. He marries the town prostitute under the instruction of God. David, would God tell someone to do that? Well, I just read you the verses. Did you know that Jesus' great-great-great-great-grandmother was a prostitute? Aren't you glad that God looks past what we are sometimes to bring us to a place of what we need to be? That's not even in my notes, y'all. That was for free right there. Hey, so he goes and they get married, and the Bible says that they begin this relationship in marriage, and before you know it, Gomer is pregnant. She has a child. In time, she has a second and then a third. Sometime along the way of these kiddos coming to be, Gomer begins to slip out when the man of God is preaching the word. She's going back to her old lifestyle and not talking about it. She's heading out the back door on Hosea to the point that the Bible we read says they had children of harlotry. Here's what that means. Perhaps one of those kids belonged to Hosea. All of them did not. Maybe none of them were his. She finally goes the full distance in this pursuit of sin, he comes home one day after preaching the word, and there's the letter waiting for him on the table, letting him know, I've gone back to prostitution. I'm not coming back. Now Hosea is raising three kids of whom he's not even sure belong to him and trying to be the prophet of God at the same time. I don't know what your concept of prostitution looks like, but let me try to, with some tact, explain what was really going on with her life at this point. She has now found herself in the possession of an owner that would use her for the reason she left Hosea, until he was no longer satisfied with her and he would sell her to the next guy. And then when he got done and he was tired of her, he would pass her to the next guy for an amount of money. She was being, in modern day vernacular, trafficked at this point. What's Hosea doing? Standing on the street corner telling everybody about the sorry wife that he has and everything she's up to? No. In fact, there's one place in those 12 chapters where it looks like this even takes place. It looks like Hosea is, in fact, without making a big show of it, making sure he knows where she is and that the men that are using her are taking care of her, because at one point, it looks like he meets one of those guys on the side because the man had enough money to buy her but didn't have enough money to care for her. And so Hosea comes and does something like this. So you don't have enough money, but I know I've been seeing her. She needs some more clothes. Here's some money. Take care of her. And she's passed back and forth, drugged through her sin, until nobody wants her anymore. And when the last guy couldn't sell her to the man down the street, he took her to the slave auction. Hosea hears from the Lord again. And that's what we read in chapter 3. Hosea hears from the Lord again, and this is what he says. Hosea, go again. Go again. And Hosea shows up in the deepest, darkest, most sinful part of town, looking to reclaim his wife. This is a beautiful love story, because I fully believe, because Hosea is a type of Jesus Christ, we're going to talk about it, that he wasn't doing this out of obligation. He wasn't doing it kicking and cursing under his breath because God had told him to, and I've got to do what God says. He was moving toward her because with all his heart, he loved Gomer. I was in a 90-day program for addicts that have come to the Lord, a Christian-based 90-day program, Restitution Center in Maud, Texas, and I go and teach there on Friday mornings. And one day I brought this to the guys there. And I usually go for about an hour, and what I've explained to you in 15 minutes, I took about an hour to really work us all through this story. And we got to about an hour in. I let the guys take a break. I said, y'all come back in 5 minutes. And I went to the coffee pot, and I came back. And when I walked in, a fella named Keith was sitting on a couch staring a hole in the wall across the room. I'll never forget this. I walked over to him. When I got close enough, I saw tear streaks down his face. And I said, Keith, you all right, buddy? And he said, I figured it out. I said, what is it? He said, I'm the prostitute. I said, yeah. So am I. Tears coming down. I said, Keith, let me ask you a couple of questions. I said, brother, in reality, was Gomer a harlot? Was she a prostitute? He thought, and he said, yeah. Yeah. I said, yeah, she was. I said, here's the second question. Is that how Hosea saw her? No. I said, well, go get you a drink, man. We're going to come back and talk about Jesus. Are y'all ready to talk about Jesus? That's the story. So I want to talk to you about the Redeemer and the ransom. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to just look at these two illustrations of Christ from this story, and then we're going to close and be done. At the point that I want to take you to right here as we discuss our Redeemer, Hosea has gone to the slave auction to buy back the one that he loves. Look again with me at chapter 3 and verse 1, because I made you repeat some things when we read this at the beginning. The Lord says in chapter 3, verse 1, the Lord said to me, go again. You see that? I don't know if every translation says it that way, but it ought to say something close to that. Go again. Now, when you read go again, it comes with a connotation that what is about to take place, what he's being instructed to do, on some level, in some way, he's already done something like this already, because you can't go again unless you've already gone before. Does that make sense to everybody? Say amen. I'm with you. So Hosea was told to go again. So let's back up and see if we can find out what happened in the first place that was repeated in chapter 3, verse 1. Go back to chapter 1. We read it in verse 2. It says, the Lord began to speak by Hosea, and he said to Hosea, watch this, go. If you're with me, just go like this. All right, so he tells him, go. Now follow me right here, because I want to pull something out of this to take us to a place of understanding redemption, maybe in a better level. Verse 3, it says that Hosea went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim. It's the only time that dad is mentioned in this story, and it's not by accident. My dad said last night, you've got to start looking at these individual words sometimes in the Word of God, and you'll see beautiful things unfold. Why would God choose to make sure that we read that he went to the daughter of Diblaim? Here's what I believe is being said right here. He went the first time when he said go, and he went to take Gomer. He had to take her from daddy. Anybody recognize those type of customs in 2018? I fear they're going away. But let me tell you someplace they ain't going away. Number 17, Rose of Sharon. If anybody is coming to ask for that one, they got to come talk to daddy first, somewhere around the year 2055. Hey, I remember the day I had to go. That was an interesting moment. Drive down to Bloomberg. My father-in-law is a big old biker, y'all. Got hair down to here and here. Well, used to. He cut it all off for the youth group at the church that he attends. He is one of the sweetest men I've ever met. But when he walks in the room, everybody goes, whoop. He ain't got no sleeves in his closet. And I drove to Bloomberg because I had to go and talk to dad, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do. Amen, right? So I go in there. It's the only time I've ever shown up by myself. Everybody in the room had to have known I was sweating. It's room temperature. I'm sweating. I'm nervous sitting over in the corner. There's guests over there. They're all talking. Every once in a while, somebody says something to me, and I just go, whoop. It's a nerve-wracking moment. But I finally got around to it, and he was okay with it. Been married almost 16 years, 15 and a half. We celebrated 15 twice because we both messed up. I was just glad she did it too, so I didn't get in trouble. So he goes to Diblaim, and what's going on here? Well, the customs in those times would have been that the husband that desired the hand of the bride would go and bring what was called a bride's wealth to show how serious he was about the intent of taking her hand in marriage. He was going with some gift. A lot of times it might be money or livestock or something like that. And this isn't uncommon. This was custom back then. We see it in other places in the Old Testament. So Hosea comes to make an investment into Diblaim and his family so that he can show how this is important to him, that he wants to honor the family. He's not trying to buy her from them. He is trying to prove he's serious about this thing and earn the right to ask for her hand. So he goes with this bride's wealth, this dowry of sorts, to invest himself into the family. He offered a part of himself as a gift to the blame in the family, and it cost him to gain the honor of having his hand. It was like it's a down payment of sorts. Like Hosea, God, our Heavenly Father, has given a bride's wealth for every human being that he's ever given life to on the face of this earth. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. The Bible lets us know very clearly that God planned us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He purposed us. The Bible says in Psalms that all of our days are written in His book. In fact, in Romans 1:19, this is what we read. It says that what may be known of God is manifest in them. What does that mean? He invested something of himself into every creation, every man, woman, boy, or girl that he's ever brought forth. He marked them. He put in our DNA a stamp of his image. He placed part of himself in us as a down payment for the relationship that he desired to see happen sometime in the future. He placed his image on each of us. But each of us, like Gomer, turned away from the one who loved us enough to invest part of himself into us. In fact, let me read you a few verses out of Romans chapter 1, just following this one that speaks about the invisible things of God being manifest in us. Listen to verse 21. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts became darkened. Verse 24, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the created or the creature rather than the Creator. What are you saying? No one is not guilty. Nobody's innocent. We've all walked away from the one that gave us life and stamped part of His amazing DNA. Our DNA is marked with the image of God.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573. Or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.